Okay, I want you guys to think about the most beautiful, most intricate thing in this whole world. What's the first thing that comes to your mind? For me, it's mountains. I love mountains so much. Okay, there we go. I don't know if you guys have ever taken time to look at a mountain, but like most people, you know, they're like just driving by and they don't pay attention to the scenery. But if it's me and I'm driving, I see a mountain, it's like, oh, mountain. Yeah. But not only is it beautiful, but I love to climb them. This summer, I climbed Mount Rainier for the second time, and I'm going to tell you kind of how it went. So we get there about 10 in the morning, and after 6 to 8 hours of climbing, we made it to our camp. And we set up our campsite, and we ate our freeze-dried food, which is wonderful, let me tell you. And then we decided it was time to go to bed, and so we went to bed. A thunderstorm came, and hail and rain, and it was loud, it was big, it was scary. So we didn't really sleep that much, and we got up at 1 o'clock in the morning, and we started hiking at 3, and 17 hours later, we finished our climb. Does that sound fun to anybody? Anyone? A few people. That's good. But it's not just the 17 hours of hiking, the dead exhaustion and everything that I love so much. It's the beauty of the mountain. When you're like dead tired and you're trying to keep your legs going one more step, then you stop and you look around you and everything's so beautiful. You see the crevasses and there's just this light blue glow coming from them, and the rising sun is glistening off the glaciers, and it's so beautiful. You get to the top of the mountain, and there's peaks everywhere, just like towns, forests, everything. It's so beautiful. Now, I want you to think about something else that's really beautiful. Anything else that comes to mind? Another thing, humans. I don't know if you've ever thought about that before. And some of you are probably like, whoa, Melinda, no. Some humans, no, not really. But no, think about the inside. What's inside a human? Like, I'm not too good at like all the body stuff, but like all the organs, the muscles, the bones, how they all work so perfectly together. How our cells, if there was one thing missing in our cell, we would all be dead. We wouldn't be alive anymore. So why is it that us, we're so much more beautiful, so much more intricate than this mountain or anything else that God created? I want to take you back to creation. I'm sure you guys all know the creation story about how God spoke the stars, the trees, the little fishies into existence. But go to day 6 with me. God decides that he is going to make animals. So he's sitting there, he's rubbing his chin. It's like, huh. And his expression changes, and the corners of his mouth go up, and he starts laughing. He's like, okay, I'm ready to do this. And so he speaks that one creating word, and animals pop up everywhere. And he sees this lion come up, shake its mane, roll in the grass, run off. And then this little pig with a curly tail and floppy ears is oinking and just having the time of its life. And God is like, wow, I'm so glad I created this. All this entertainment for me. This is going to be fun stuff. But he's like, I can't talk to a pig. How boring would that be? It's just going to oink at me. And so God thinks, he's like, I want someone that I can be a friend with. Someone who can talk to me. Who can praise me for all that I've done. So God kneels down into the dust, and he starts drawing a form in the dust. Now, probably some of you guys are thinking when God did that, like he has a stern look on his face trying to concentrate, like with his tongue sticking out or something. But no, I want you to picture a look of longing on his face, longing for what this might be, how humans will be towards God. So God finishes it all. He knows how everything works, how everything inside is going to work. He has it all pictured in his mind. And he says that he breathes that word. Now, In Genesis 2, it says, "Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils, and man became a living being." Why did God take so much time just to make us? He didn't just speak us. He actually took the time. He got down on his knees, came down to our level. He wanted to be friends with us. He wanted us to be something more. In Psalms 139:14, it says, "I will praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Obviously, by the way that God made us, we were fearfully and wonderfully made. There's no doubt about that. But why did he make us so wonderfully like that? In the first beginning of the verse, look at it. It says, "I will praise you." God made us to praise him. He wants us to show our friendship to him by talking to him, by showing him our praise, saying, "God, you're wonderful. I want to be with you." But some people were like, "Well, how do you praise God? Like, what exactly do you mean?" Okay, I want you to picture these two different scenarios. There's an old man walking down the street, and this little boy is following him. Well, not little boy, older boy. And the old man, he's walking, and he trips, and he falls flat on his face. And the other boy, he starts laughing. He's like, "Oh, man, that's the funniest thing I've seen all week." And so he goes by, and he points, and he laughs at the man. He's walking. He's like, "WWJD, what would Jesus do?" Jesus would probably have picked him up. "I don't really want to pick him up, but then I'll look like a good Christian if I do." Oh, well. And so he goes back over to the guy. He's like, "Hey, old man," kind of kicks him to make sure he's alive still. Picks him up, like, "Here you go." Okay, picture the second boy. Same scenario. The old man falls flat on his face. And the other boy, he's like, "Oh, my goodness, is this guy okay? Like, maybe he had a heart attack. Maybe he broke something." So he runs over to the man. He kind of shakes him. He's like, "Sir, sir, are you okay? Are you fine?" "Oh, yeah, I just tripped." And so the boy's like, "Oh, sir, let me help you up." So he picks him up. He's like, "Do you want me to walk with you a ways? Do I need to get you anything? Are you going to be okay?" And he's like, "Yeah, yeah, I'm going to be fine. But thank you." I'm sure you can see the difference between these two scenarios. The first boy, he was just kind of like, "Yeah, you know, I don't want to help him, but I bet Jesus would want me to, and so I should pretend like I love Jesus, and I should go help him out, just so that other people will think that I'm a good Christian." This man was posing his praise to God. He wasn't doing it out of any joy or anything. He was just doing it for an outward appearance. The second boy, he was excited. He's like, "Oh, man, I get to help this guy. I get to show Jesus' love to him. This might change his life in some way." I mean, he was down there helping him, wanting to know what else he could do. He was excited to help him. This is how we should praise God. We should praise God with an excitement and thinking that we can change other people's lives through what we do. Now, some people, they're on fire for God. They're praising him. But after a while, they're like, "You know, I'm tired of this God thing. I don't want to praise him anymore. It's just not working out anymore." I want you to picture your best friend. You guys have been best friends since second grade. You know where your friend's birthmark is? If they lose a hair, you can tell. And one day, you come up to your friend. You're like, "Hey, how you doing?" And like, "Ugh." And they just walk away. You're like, "Oh, well, I bet they had a bad dream. I'll just talk to them later." And so a couple hours later, you go up to them and like, hey, are you feeling better? You want to talk or anything?" "No, we're done. I never want to talk to you again. We're not going to be friends anymore. Not ever." And they just walk away. How would that make you feel? It would be like the hardest thing you ever went through. You would go insane because you don't have that best friend there. Now picture this with God. If we stop praising God, How can he handle that? That's what he made us for, to praise him, to be his constant friend. It says in the Bible that if we stop praising God, he will turn to the mountains to praise him because he so longs for that friendship. He longs for what he created us for, to be his friend. But when we don't give it to him, he doesn't know what to do, and he has to turn to something else. I don't know how that makes you feel, but I would hate it if a mountain started praising God in my place. I would not like that at all. But even if that does happen, and God is so hurt about it, he's like, I don't understand. But he still chases after you. He's still like, I still want that friendship. Come back to me. Still praise me. I still want you. God is so crazy about you. He's crazy about all of you. All he wants is your praise, is your friendship. God sent his only son down here. It wasn't easy for God. God was like, no, I don't want you to go. But he wanted that friendship back so bad that he had before sin. That friendship, that praise that we could give him continually. Not when we're down on this earth with everything else bogging down our minds. He wanted that pure friendship, that pure praise that he had back before sin. All of our glory, our praise, our honor, all of it belongs to God. God who created us better than anything else in this world. So, next time you guys are driving along and you see a mountain, stop. Not if you're driving, like, pull off to the side of the road first. But stop and look at the mountain and notice how beautiful it is. Like, wow, that is amazing right there. But then stop and think again. And think, like, you know what? I am way more beautiful than that mountain. God made me so much more special than that pile of rocks over there. And think that all that God wants is to be your best friend.